flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie, a bonus pod for you guys this week, the third episode of the week. It's a Who Says No Friday, but before we get there, just know this is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, wherever you're getting your podcast. Subscribe and rate 5 stars because it helps us out so much. You can also subscribe to WEEI on YouTube and go in and find the Play Tessie playlist there. And it has all of our episodes. Hit the thumbs up on all those videos. Let me just like scroll down the line, click on the video and hit the thumbs up and just keep going. Just keep doing it. Every single video, hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to WEEI though and find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. As I said, a bonus pod, Who Says No Friday. And I'm here with Sammy, but I'm also here with our producer, Joe Braverman, who's in for Pat today, and he's going to be giving us the Who Says No today. So this is Joe's.
How about that?
Joe, is this your first Who Says No? I know it's your first Who Says No of the offseason. Is it your first Who Says No on this podcast ever?
No. So I did one over at the trade deadline, I remember. It was Trevor Rogers, I think, was the suggestion I gave off.
My guy.
But this is the first time, at least in an episode format, that I've given you guys a Who Says No to debate on.
Joe, before you give the Who Says No, where should Pat sleep in spring training?
I am one who prefers to sleep alone, wherever that might be. So
lone wolf.
I think he should go on the floor. I agree with our fans saying that's where he should be.
Yep.
Pat
and Sammy
Brown
should have the guest room all to himself, privacy.
I don't mind taking the couch bed. I'm happy to give you the guest room. I'm happy to do it.
Thank you so much.
The couch bed was solid. You can hear Rob walking out early in the morning to go to Starbucks and grind the way he does. It's a good I love spring training. I can't wait to go. I cannot wait.
You know what's great? That guest room. The blinds, they're not blackout curtains, but they're really close. It is, you can't see anything in there. Pitch black. I slept so well, which, like I spoke about last episode, I'm not a good sleeper. So I need that guest room badly.
Joe, we might need to fly you out there to sleep in the guest room with Sammy.
I'll be on the emergency call. I'll be on the emergency call.
I Muay Thai sleepwalk. I start just throwing elbows and knees in my sleep. So just fair warning.
People don't realize how important the producer role is at spring training. Like Joe jumped on with us mid-season. So Joe, you weren't with us last year when we were doing the content at spring training, but like back then we had Coop doing it, and Sammy and I would get like six videos worth in like a 40-minute span, and we'd send it all to Coop, and he would just, I mean, he grind, like we're grinding away out there, but like he was grinding away back home, and you're gonna be like, oh god, look at all this shit I gotta do. Ah, but
yeah,
I just swore in the first 5 minutes. I came so close. I just said it. But whatever, man. Joe, let's hear what you got, Joe. First, who says no of the offseason for Joe Braverman? Let's hear what
okay.
you got.
Okay. So I think this trade should be on the assumption that Alex Bregman will not be signing. That means second base is pretty much wide open. You know, it could be Vaughn Grissom. It could be Hamilton. It could be Christian Campbell. Who knows? Let's just say it's that wide open. So that's sort of my interest with this. And I'm actually, the team I am making this deal with is actually in division. And it's a guy who I think should be brought up a little bit more considering the state that the franchise is in. Of course, I'm talking about the Toronto Blue Jays who I'm making the deal with. And a guy, not Vlad. You know, I know Gordo wants Vlad here, but I would rather wait until free agency to try and get that deal. I don't know if I'm going to trade for him. But there's another name out there who sort of a big name guy, I would say, that might help out with the right-handed bat situation, maybe not from a power standpoint, but I think could really be effective in the lineup. And that's Bo Bichette. So I think Bo Bichette, I still am a believer in him because his last 2 years, they haven't been good, but they've been hampered by injury. But you got to remember how good this guy was at his peak. He led the American League for 2 years in a row, I believe, and he had some MVP votes now and again. He's a career 290 hitter, 466 slugging, nearly an 800 OPS. That helps out the lineup so much. And then defensively, he helps as well. He just continues to get better, even if you have to move him to second base and shortstop. So my who says no, it's going to be a little bit of a doozy here. But I think the Sox acquire Bo Bichette and they trade away Willy Abreu, Vaughn Grissom, Cutter Crawford, and Yoelin Cespedes. I think it's going to take a big package because we saw what it took to get Garrett Crochet. Bichette not on that same level as Crochet with that kind of package. But if Toronto is still going to be in this middling state of rebuilding but not rebuilding, holding on to these guys or not, I think you got to blow them away. So you get a couple of major leaguers out there, makes them still believe that they are contenders out there, even though the rest of the league and all of us agree that there's no way they get contention. They're in contention even with adding Santander, anything like that. But then you also get a nice little project in Yoelin Cespedes. And then Cutter Crawford obviously is young. Talked about Willy Abreu over and over. So the final who says no proposal here, Bo Bichette for Willier, Cutter, Vaughn, and Yoelin Cespedes.
All right, Joe, I'm going to tell you the problem I have with it. The problem I have is that Bo Bichette makes a lot of money. And we've seen, like you brought it up right there, the last couple of years haven't been up to his standard. He's an incredible player when he's on, and like obviously he's been hampered by injury. Like we all agree, like Bo Bichette is definitely the guy that he used to be and not the guy that he was last year. But the issue is that he's a rental. So like unless you know and even if you did know, it's tough because like you're giving away a lot there. What was it? Willier, Cutter, Cespedes, and Grissom?
Mm-hmm.
That's that is That's a lot for any rental. Like, I, to be honest with you, Joe, I don't even think I'd give all that for Vlad.
Okay. I like the idea of Bo a lot. That's actually really creative. I didn't even think of him as an option.
Agreed.
Just kind of figured that.
I do like Bo.
I don't know what I figure. I didn't even think of Bo. And he's a solid defender at short. I think he's like 70th percentile outs above average, but at second, I'm sure he'd be even better.
Has he played second? Like, I know he would definitely be good at it. He would definitely be really good at the position. I feel like I've seen him at second, but I can't imagine he's ever done it, but I'm sure he'd be great.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think the return is obviously a lot. I think you could get him for less, maybe like Cespedes and Grissom, I'm sure start the conversation. I don't think you need to put in all the major league talent. I'm trying to think like what I would trade for Bo Bichette.
Yeah, the thing is, I was looking, the way my proposal went is that I was looking at the Blue Jays side of things, where if the asking price for the White Sox was so big and they are the worst team in MLB, you have this Toronto franchise who still believes they're like a playoff contending team, a World Series team. You know, they still got Vlad. They brought in Santander.
No, Joe,
they got
you're
all
right.
this money to spend. You have to look at it from the Blue Jays side of things.
Joe's right in the sense that like they're not like they are trying to compete. Like they've taken on a bunch of salary this year, and yeah, to trade Bo Bichette, like they're going to have to be more or less blown away. I don't think you can look at his situation and Crochet's situation the same, because Crochet had 2 years left and he's making next to no money, whereas Bo Bichette, what's his salary this year? Did he get like 16 mil?
17.5.
17.5. So like 1 year at 17.5, whereas Crochet is basically going to be, if not extended, like the final 2 years of his deal, he'll make like 10. So like that's that, like, and Crochet also coming off a terrific year. But no, I agree with your point though. The Blue Jays, like, they're not going to, like, they're only going to, and Bichette, I think they believe is not coming back. So like there would be, Of anyone in that lineup, if they were going to trade anybody, I think it would be him, at least before the season starts. Midseason, anything's on the table if they stink. But yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I think they'd need to get blown away. I wouldn't be the team to do it, even though there is that hole at second base. I don't think I would give that much.
Well, I'm trying to think, what would make Bo Bichette to Boston work? Like, would you throw in... Oh, God. I haven't thought about this guy for a while. Throw in Bowden Francis.
Oh, I'd do anything for... It's Bowden, Sam.
Bowden, yeah. Sorry, sorry. Bowden.
It's Bowden.
It doesn't work for the joke, though.
No, they're not going to move him. So I think the return is too much, but I think the players you have involved are the right guys. I just wouldn't trade all of them. Thinking like if you gave them Grissom as the replacement... That's one check. That's good. And then I'd be like, Abreu, I wouldn't do. Abreu's the one guy I'd be like, no, we're not doing that.
Here's the question, though, is like, you have to look at it in like the player and the money. Is Bo Bichette, like, what is Bo Bichette worth on? If he were a free agent this year, gonna guaranteed sign a 1 year deal, how much would the highest 1 year offer he would have gotten be? It would be higher than 17.5 mil.
And get 20 million?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like barely more. So like how much reasonably are you going to, unless the Blue Jays are eating salary, which in theory they could. They have more money than God.
You could maybe, what if you looped in Yoshida to this somehow? Now we're getting wacky.
We got to do it, man. We got it.
All right. So what if it's Yoshida, Grissom, and then Cutter? There you go.
I think the Blue Jays don't touch that. If you put Yoshida into Joe's deal, does that
five players for one
make it a five for one?
Five.
Here's the thing. I was debating between this 3-for-1 and 4-for-1 because I agree that probably three players is more on the line of what you should be offering for Bo Bichette. But again, looking at it from Toronto's side, they're gonna want the mother load. They're gonna want to have this idea of being able still to compete. And Willier, I throw in there because they are very right-handed heavy. Like, they got a lot of switch hitters, but there are going to be days that Toronto throws in all righties there.
Dude, so, they're always like that. Why are the Blue Jays always all right? Have you noticed that? Even when they were really good in 2015, their whole lineup was right-handed. And that would always be the knock on them. They'd face a righty, and then they'd talk about it all game long. But anyway, yeah, Willier makes sense. I could see them wanting him. I have a pop quiz for you guys. When was the last time the Red Sox did a 5-for-1 trade?
Oh. Well, they did a 4-for-1 this year to get Luis Garcia, right?
Yeah.
So who was the 5-for-1?
That wasn't the Nick Punto trade, was it?
No, because that had a bunch of players on both
sides. You're right. Never mind. I don't think they've ever done a 5-for-1. I think the most I can find is 4-for-1.
Yeah, it's uncommon.
Yeah, a 5-for-1 is very unlikely.
Yeah, I was thinking the Nick Punto thing, but it's not. That was more complicated now that looking back.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Back on it. Damn.
Can I give you guys a take? Yeah. Can I give you guys a take? I have this friend who's not even a Red Sox fan, and he'll throw random, like, would you trade? He's always bringing up Willier for some reason. He's like, would you trade Willier for this guy?
Obvious trade guy. He's the new Nick York,
right? But he'll ask me, like, would you trade Willier for, like, Cease? Would you trade Willier for, like, Mike King? And I always end up saying no. And I think I've come to the realization that I just don't even think I would trade Willier for any rental, because I just think he's that good and has 5 years of control.
All right, I have a take for your take.
I would consider Cutter for the right one, I think.
I don't think Willier is as valuable as people think, because if you look at the player, never been a top prospect, plays good defense, of course, but it's corner outfield, and we've seen what teams think about corner outfield defense. They don't value it super highly, and he's a platoon bat. He cannot touch lefties, and that's not a new thing at the major league level. That was the case in the minors as well, so if I'm a team looking at Willier Abreu, that's how I'm viewing him. I like Willier. I think he's good, but I don't think he's super valuable or anything. I think the most valuable thing about him is the team control. And if you're going that route, then I don't know. I'm just not. I don't think he's as valuable as people think. Like, my God.
It's a lot. The value, Sammy, is on the potential of things. We haven't really seen what Willier can do because he just completed his first full year. And really the only thing that he provides is the arm in the outfield, in the corner outfield. And you just said what happens in the corner outfield and how they value it. Whereas you look at everyone else in the outfield, Duran is a great leadoff guy and he gives you speed. Sedan has great defense. Roman Anthony, obviously highest ranked prospect outside of Roki. You know, Willier doesn't provide that much. He doesn't bring that much to the table. But he could change.
I think you guys are going to eat these words.
I hope so. I hope I eat these words. Oh, by the way, you talk potential. Like I said, never been a top prospect in any organization. So I don't know. I like Willier. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's ever going to be like a star player or you know, close. I think he'll be like a little bit above average, like a guy, like kind of Trot Nixon ish. Maybe not quite Trot Nixon.
Come
but
on,
like,
that's really good.
Yeah, good, but not like headline a crochet trade, crazy shit like that. That was the most mind-numbing thing ever. I can't believe people were saying that. I still can't get over that. Willier can headline a crochet trade.
I think it was a reasonable take to think he could co-headline. Like, there would have needed to be like another legit, like, he's the A piece. There's going to be need to be another also A piece. But aside from the point, Willier, one of the best defensive corner outfielders in the game, both with his arm and with his range. He's valuable on the base paths. He hits right-handed pitching really well and is going to get better. Like, people get the, like, a mid-800 OPS until he just fell apart in September. And, like, I guess that's part of being a rookie. You fall apart at the end of the season. It's not the first tap, it'll be the last. I don't know if he's ever.
Mid-800s.
I don't know how much OPS, he's ever going to hit left-handed pitching.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, mid-800s OPS, but it's as a platoon guy, so it's less valuable. You know, it's just. I don't know. I like Willier.
I don't know if he's going to be that forever.
Huh?
I don't know if he's going to be like that, like a platoon bat forever. Like, I know he was a platoon bat last year. Like, obviously he's always going to have the splits where he hits right-handers way better than lefties, but it's like, could he have like a 650 OPS against lefties for a couple years. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty
that's
rough.
That's not that bad.
But okay, but if you have it's to not, have this conversation,
what was Dever, what, like what were Dever and Durant this year against left-handed pitching? Like what was like, I'm going to go to Durant. Say your point. I'll find Durant splits.
But if you're a GM, you have to have this conversation. This is a guy who we think might be able to have a 650 OPS against lefties eventually. That's not exactly attractive. That's kind of
But if he has a 900,
that's why you're getting Bo Bichette for him.
Yeah,
that's why you're getting Bichette for him.
But yeah, no, I like Willier. I think he has value in a trade. I just think it's not as much as people have been, you know, thinking.
Durant had like an all-world season this past year. He had a 665 OPS against lefties. Like he had a 910 against righties.
Brutal. He had what?
But like he had a 665 OPS against lefties, but a 910 against righties, and like I've provided the value in every other facet of the game that we've been over a million times. It's like if Willier can. Like, he basically, I mean, as a rookie, was on track to basically have, like, what, 870 OPS against righties at a point last year. It's like, okay, if he takes a step forward, you're in the grand territory against righties, and all he has to do is not be a complete zero against lefties, which I get that's easier said than done, but it's like it wouldn't be the first time that it got improved in some capacity in his career. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just, total value-wise, I just think good, but not great. Yeah, like I said, control might be the most valuable part about him. And obviously the age is great. He's only 25, so that's nice. I can't get over the crochet thing. So many people, too. That wasn't like an isolated thing. That was
I bought it, and I mean, take it for what, it wasn't like it was a take, it was a report. It was a report that the White Sox would have been willing to think about Willier as a, like that was a Sean McAdam report. Like that was sourced.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that source is out of his mind, but fair enough.
Again, though, I don't think it would have been like a Willier and the supplemental pieces. It would have had to be like Willier, like in Montgomery, like if sub Willier in for Teal, like maybe that, but like, I understand why the White Sox want to go minor leaguers over major leaguers, even if it's only one extra year control. Upside. But I think Willier's valuable, and I don't think value will go down. I think he'll produce this year, and like, yeah, he'll have one less year of control if they want to trade him in a year. Personally, I would
make him the headliner in this one.
Joe, I would make him the headliner, but I won't trade him for a rental. That's where I draw the line on Willier. I will not trade him for a rental.
So you say that no, you say both say, or what? Did we get a final judgment?
I say Jays say yes, Red Sox say no, but they counter.
Walk away. I think the Jays would say yes. I think the Red Sox would say no. I'm very curious. I think there are some in the Red Sox organization that would be really big on Bo Bichette. I do wonder if there'll be interest that next year in free agency.
And I will gladly take all of these listeners saying, hey, this way he's a producer. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Producer Joe Braverman. Clean shaven.
You're more locked in than anyone to the Boston sports scene because of being a producer.
Joe Braverman, producing, can you guys even hear me right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, producing not just the Play Tessie podcast, producing the Red Sox games this year. So Joe Braverman, he's all over this team.
Joe Braverman, this guy can produce. That could mean
that should be
whatever
a tag.
You want it to mean. Do with that what you will.
I
this guy,
Joe Braverman.
Sure. I'm not sure how to take that. It's not like Tyler O'Neill's hole.
Oh, whoa. That's just going to come up on every single episode now.
This guy's going to be not on the Red Sox for like 6 years, and we'll be talking about his holes. Like,
that's what happens, dude.
And the first time the Orioles come to Fenway, we're going to see Tyler O'Neill and be like, hey, we spent the offseason talking about your hole.
He'll be like, thanks.
You want to go up to Tyler O'Neill the way he looks and say that to his face, Joe?
You do it, Gordo. You and him are gym bros.
No, I'm not. Dude, I'm not making that. If he wanted to kill me, he could. I have that great picture of me giving him a fist bump, and you could just see the difference in our biceps. It's just, he's outrageous, man. Like, you talk about his hole to his face, and he'll pound you into the infield dirt with his fist like donkey. Like, ground pound.
Like down B. Down B on Super Smash Bros. Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Nerd.
Nerding out. That game is awesome. Oh, yeah. Get out of here. That game is great.
All right. I love Smash. Speaking it's of a classic. Here, get us out of here.
Gordo. Yeah, okay. No roots, I'll get out of here. Joe, great job. Who Says No Friday with Joe Braverman today. Appreciate you filling in for Pat on this one. This has been a bonus Who Says No episode of the Play Tessie podcast. We appreciate you guys all tuning into this one. We will be back in your ears on Monday, right? There's no holiday next week, right? So we'll be back on Monday, presuming no emergency podcast or anything unexpected. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, hit that subscribe button to get the notifications when these episodes drop. It also helps us out so much when you subscribe. So do it on Apple, on Spotify. Do it everywhere you get your podcasts. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel. Find the Play Tessie playlist. It has all our episodes. You can hit the thumbs up on those videos, which we really appreciate. And you can subscribe to WEI, which is they've got great content coming out on that feed, whether it be from us or from the radio or from anything else. Great stuff there. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy, for Joe, not just producing, but sending in the Who Says No for the boys. Hey, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie, a bonus Who Says No edition. Thanks for tuning in to this one. Peace.